Sarah.
And I'm Emma.
And we're Mom Best Friend.
The friends you always wanted.
Always needed.
Didn't know you needed.
Didn't know you wanted.
I have Lennox and Sebastian.
And I'm mom to Cleo and Beau.
And we have surveyed a lot of women.
A lot of moms.
And we've all got a lot to say.
Let's get into it.
Here today we're talking about something that, I don't know, a lot of non-moms could also talk about this subject, but we're talking about women's reproductive
rights.
Decisions. Rights and decisions.
I feel like if you're sexually active, you know, this pertains to you.
Yeah. This episode is a little intense.
And it's different from our normal content.
And if you have had a past traumatic experience or you're uncomfortable talking about choice, then please stop listening now
and
listen to another episode that's out.
That's more fun.
But I think this is a very important topic to talk about because it looks different for everyone. Choice looks different for everyone.
But again, we are giving you the right to choose if you want to listen to it.
Yes.
But we think you should.
I find it just so irritating that this is a woman's issue. Mm-hmm. It should be an everybody issue.
Well, I feel like, you know, it takes two to make a life, you know?
Yeah.
So it should kind of fall on both people.
Right. I mean, we just came off recording the partners episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about how, oh, dads seem so relaxed. They're chill. Yeah, they can be relaxed. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, you know, you have a kid and it so much falls on the shoulders of the mother. And that's why guys just don't seem to give a shit about
and
women's rights. Because they're like, oh, I don't have to deal with this kid when it comes down to anyway.
Mom got this.
So she better fucking have it.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
I actually asked my husband, like, how he would feel if someone he was dating wanted to have an abortion. Because, you know, I was just curious. I mean, if it's obviously different if I wanted to have an abortion and we were together. And we're married and we have children already, but
right.
He said like he would be, I mean, he said it would be her choice, but he would be a little upset.
I mean, I think it comes down to,
he would care is what I'm trying to say.
If you're in a relationship with someone that you see yourself having a longer term mm-hmm. future with, and then they choose to have an abortion, it definitely does put like a damper on your vision of the future. Mm-hmm.
But white picket fence.
Having said that, I think a lot of couples out there have an abortion early on in their relationship and then end up getting married and having kids. The percentage is low, because usually that's sort of the nail in the coffin. Not to be morose.
No, well, it's a little morose.
A little bit morose. But it does, it ends a lot of relationships. I mean, I'll go on record today and I'll say I've had an abortion. Anytime someone will tell you, like, I've had an abortion, like, they feel the need to then tell their story and explain themselves so that all these people don't come and attack them. So I don't even feel like I should have to explain myself.
You don't.
Like, no, I had an abortion, period.
End of story.
Come at me.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I will explain it because why not? Everybody's got a story. And I think that's the problem is that, like, there's so many specific instances when it comes to abortion that, like, someone else can't tell you what your situation is because they don't know.
Exactly.
They don't know your shoes. Mm-mm. So, I don't know. It was with this guy I'd been dating for a couple weeks, and I didn't really know him very well. It turned out he had some unchecked mental health issues.
Yeah.
Including lying about what he was doing sexually. Like, he was saying he was pulling out, and he was not at all, and I didn't even really notice. Okay. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently he's gotten lots of women pregnant.
Wow.
And I came out on the internet, like, people just, like, saw that I was dating him and started, like, sending me, like, DMs. And it was, like, really weird. And the second I found out, I just, like, immediately made an appointment. I felt zero regrets.
Yeah.
I was not sad.
No.
I think about it now, I'm like, nope, that still was the absolute correct decision.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad. And the fact that, like, some women in the world that could have happened to and had to have that child and basically raise them themselves. This guy was, like, not going to be around. And he was mad. He was like, I can't believe you. Like, you didn't even think about it. I'm like, there's nothing to think about, dude. You're a disaster. And the thing is, he was, like, sober at the time.
Yeah.
A week into us dating. I mean, it was a joke of a relationship. But, like, a week into us dating, he, like, was not sober anymore.
Yeah, so, like, he seems like a real great father figure.
Right.
Yeah.
But he was, like, furious.
Yeah.
So if it weren't to him, I would have had that baby. But like, no.
No.
Then thank God it's not up to
this
him.
Guy.
Right. And not that, to bring God into this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Do you think men should have say in this decision?
No.
As well, you don't.
Zero.
Okay, but what if it was your husband?
No.
Really?
Nope. I would maybe have a different opinion if I didn't have to carry the child.
That's very true.
If there was a way to incubate a child outside of my body, mm-hmm. fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if once that baby was born, that the father was the one to take care of the kid.
That's okay. That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We did a quick survey on Emma's channels, and it seemed as though the rates of abortion were similar to national. It's like out of every 1,000 pregnancies, about 15% end in abortion.
Some of them had pregnancies that weren't viable, like the baby was dying, or the baby had genetic defects. And then I had followers who were raped and drugged.
And that to me just makes sense.
Yeah.
I just like, do we as a society want young kids having kids?
You know what? I feel...
Like, what's too... I go as far to say, I think that there should be an age where you're allowed to have a kid.
Yeah, you can't even drive until you're 16 or 17.
I know, but you're allowed to have a baby?
But you can raise a life.
It's a very... It gets into a very scary thought.
Yeah.
Like, because I was just talking... Neve and I were talking about this earlier today, actually. It's like... People talk about, like, caps on the number of children you're allowed to have and how that's such a scary thought. But at the same time, it's just like, well, we're killing our planet.
Yeah.
We're allowing uneducated young people to have babies that they're unready to take care of.
Yeah.
Not only are we letting them, we're making it easy to get pregnant and impossible to not have the kid.
Yeah.
So it's just like, where do we want to live? Like, what kind of society are these people, like, thinking that is the ideal? The ideal is to have too many people
mm-hmm.
that don't know how to help each other. And it's just like...
I know for one, when I was 13, I certainly was not qualified to have a baby at all.
I mean, right?
No. I think now it's questionable.
But I mean, I guess historically, when we were all dying at 30...
I mean, that's true.
But that's not how
my
it works
grandmother
anymore.
Had a baby, I think, at 18.
Right.
But you see, we have to move with the times. And the times, you know, I feel my gynecologist in Los Angeles said that, you know, statistically, the first time moms that are coming to his office are in their early 40s, having
right.
their first baby.
Yeah. That's LA and New York for
yeah.
you. I'm the only mom, like, in my early 30s.
Yeah. I had Lennox in my 20s.
Young, you know? That's a teen mom.
I was definitely a teen mom. But people, you know, these days, they want to have a job. They want to live their life. They want to travel. They want to do things. They don't want to just, like, jump into having that kind of life.
There's exceptions to every rule.
There are exceptions to every rule.
That's why a law that says, like, a 20-year-old can't have a baby is
There's
ridiculous.
There's amazing moms who are 17 years old raising their children.
Right.
And they're doing great, so it's unfair
right, but you,
to say.
So I think the idea is you have to know yourself.
Exactly.
And you have to be educated in your choices,
yes.
and you have to understand the implications of having a kid. Or not. I mean, I don't know, because, like, I also didn't understand all of the implications of having a child.
Oh, for sure I did.
Because
not.
I don't think you can. Like, can
Until you have a kid.
Can you even be ready?
No.
I mean, I think the goal in sort of stuff like this podcast is to help people get a bit more ready.
Yeah.
And understand things that go into it and the issues.
I feel like I'm still not ready to be a mom, and I am a mom of two.
Right. So we've got a very special guest coming on.
Yes. And we are going to keep her 100% anonymous. She's incredibly brave to be talking with us. She is a rape survivor. She's married. She's a mother to a beautiful daughter. And she's dealing with a very unexpected pregnancy with her husband.
So we're going to give her a quick call on Skype.
So excuse any sort of sound quality that we have with her.
My daughter makes noise in the background.
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
No, we're all moms here.
Yeah.
So So, I don't know. We just recorded a little bit about women's
rights
and choice. And
yeah.
So, can you tell us a little bit about what you're going through?
Right now I am drinking lemonade and eating saltines because I am like in the throes of that early pregnancy feeling, which is like obviously a constant reminder of what my body's doing and going through. We found out at 3 weeks and 2 days that we were unhappily pregnant. So it's funny because, like, to give you a background, you know, I had a really rough pregnancy with my daughter. I was throwing up basically the whole time. I had like hyperemesis. It was a rough time for me for many reasons. A lot of it was because I was actually sick, but a lot of it too was due to sexual assault that I had several years ago, about a decade before. And being pregnant during the Me Too movement was a major trigger for me. It was something that I didn't really expect to have to relive again, and I didn't think that pregnancy would trigger those feelings for me. I had worked through it with like counseling for several years, and like all of a sudden the prospect of giving birth like naturally made me have flashbacks, like more flashbacks to my rape in a month than I had in the last 10 years. So it was a rough time. We opted for a cesarean for that reason, because I didn't want to associate the birth of my daughter with the trauma that I've experienced in the past. I then went on to have really severe postpartum depression. So the reason why I'm telling you all this is because it's been a really long 2 years. You know, my daughter is 18 months old now. Pregnancy was no picnic. I was not able to lose any baby weight when I was breastfeeding. I was the kind of person who held on to every single pound until I actually stopped breastfeeding, and which was literally a week before I found out that I was pregnant. So as we were weaning the last like 3 months, I like slowly started feeling like myself again for the very, very first time, and wasn't feeling like my sexual relationship with my husband was forced. Not that he would ever force me, but like I would have to really psych myself up to getting intimate with him for the last like few years.
Yeah, that low libido is the worst.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to kind of to deal with that too. Like, and to not feel sexy and to not feel cute, you know, like myself. And so this last month was amazing. I'm, you know, 7 pounds away from my pre-baby weight. We've had more sex in the last month than we had in the last 2 years. And, you know, one of those nights was a drunken, heated in the moment, stupid accident. And then we got pregnant. It was like, oh my God, we're back. Like we like finally have each other back. And it just happened. And then literally the second after it happened, I was bawling my eyes out because I was afraid that we got pregnant. And we had always, in the last like year, we'd been discussing like the possibility of having another baby, but we both are very much on the same page of just having one. So this was like just a complete shock to our system. As happy as I was with finding out that I was pregnant with my daughter, it was the exact opposite when I found out I was pregnant this time. It was complete joy the first time, and it was complete and utter dread this time. Like I ran over to my neighbor's house. I like freaked out. I just was bawling uncontrollably. You know, I always thought that if we were ever in this situation, that we would just like roll with the punches. I never even like really thought about like termination being an option. But like once I was now in that situation, like I now, you know, started to consider it. when I told my husband, he kind of was like, well, how do you know for sure?
Yeah.
And it was like,
such your man. I was like, well, okay. How do you really, those tests are not really accurate. Right? Yeah. Like, I know myself.
I mean, then by the time I told him, I had taken like 8 pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
So I knew.
And so what was his, so right away, what was the first conversation you had with your husband? Did you already made up your mind on what you wanted to do, or?
No. I made up my mind, like, a few days ago. Like, it's been 2 weeks of, like, back and forth. First, he was very supportive either way. Like, he, we both kind of assessed that we were, like, 50-50, or maybe even, like, 60-40 to terminate. It was hard because I kind of wanted to, like, not make the decision. I even said to him, like, listen, I can't decide. Like, you have to decide. Like, just make a decision. Let me know, and we'll go with it. And he was like, wait a second. You want me to make a decision about what you do with your body? And I was like, no, I guess not. When you put it like that, you know. And he was like, listen, like, if we decide to go, you know, go forward with having another baby, like, I will be really happy. He's like, and if we don't, like, you know, then I'll still be happy because I have you and I have, you know, our daughter. And so he was really supportive from day one. The first thing that I did was seek out, like, other people's advice. So I'm actually a member of a Facebook group that's a private group for parents of only children. And the first thing I did was post on that group and ask if anyone else had gone through the same experience and if they'd be willing to, like, share. Because obviously these women only have one child, and so if they had gone through what I'd been through, they had chosen the termination route. And I feel like it's something that people don't really talk about. I think, like, it's obviously really taboo, and a lot of people have, like, very, 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 very strong feelings about it. And I don't think women who get abortions after having children talk about it that often. Like, I know friends who had abortions prior to getting married and when they were younger, but, like, my husband and I, like, we're in our 30s. We own our home. We live next to the beach. We, like, have great stable jobs. We have a beautiful child that's typically developing. Like, we don't, like, she doesn't have problems or issues. Like, there's no reason on paper that we shouldn't want another baby except for the fact that we just don't want one. So I was really, really overwhelmed by how many positive responses I got and support from the women on that group and how many people had actually gone through it. And how then I started doing some research on my own, and I found out, like, statistically that it's over 50% of women who get abortions are actually already mothers. And that really, really surprised me because, like, you think that the only women that are getting abortions are the ones that are unmarried and don't have jobs and are, like, or teenagers or, like, are stuck, right? And so then that made me feel comfortable in, like, whatever decision I made. Like, I had friends who also had not planned on getting pregnant when they had with their second, or also not planning to have another baby and then getting pregnant and going through with having the pregnancy and feeling happy about it ultimately. And I know, like, if I have a baby, I will love that baby. So this is what would go through my head for the last, like, week and a half. It was, like, almost, like, just, like, extremes. Like one day I'd be 100% all in, we're having this baby. The next day I would be like, no way, we're not doing it. And then sometimes it would be from minute to minute, like every 10 minutes it would switch back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it wasn't until one of my friends came over with her 2 kids, and, you know, we talked about the reality of 2 kids, and I told her what my biggest fear was about terminating is that if I change my mind a couple years from now, like, am I, like, worthy of having of trying again and having a baby because, like, do I deserve to after, like,
of course. Right. But you were worried that you would have that feeling.
It's like, am I throwing away this chance? Or, who am I aborting? Because I look at my daughter and I think, look at how incredible she is. It's like, she's going to be someone's mother someday. She's going to be someone's best friend. She's going to be someone's, you know, like, this baby could be, like, someone's doctor, someone's wife, someone's husband, someone's, like, it's hard not to think of it like that when you see, like, this perfect angel that you made in front of you every day.
But the thing is, you know, your daughter, who's on your lap right now, she was meant to be here. She was meant to be here to be someone's doctor, to be someone's mother. And the baby that you're carrying, that
it's
baby
not,
is not...
It's not a baby.
No, okay.
Right.
That's because they're... I mean, so these were, like, they're important, right? And I think that's what the difference.
They are.
Embryo?
I think embryo.
Embryo.
Yeah.
Embryo, and yeah. It's now an embryo. I think last week it was a blastocyst.
I mean, come on. It's like a dinosaur.
I know. The blastocyst.
You should know.
Right. You've moved to embryo.
Yeah. It's okay, but again, that embryo isn't meant to be somebody's doctor. It's not going to, you know, be the next president of the United States. Okay.
Right.
Your daughter might be.
And your next baby might be. I think the reality is. I mean, maybe I might sound a little hippy-dippy right now, but... Have you heard of the book Spirit Babies?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It's a really interesting book because it talks about how certain spirits are tied to us. And that if your baby is meant to be, they will be. So even if you choose to abort a baby, that spirit has a choice. It can stay with you or it can move on to someone else who's been wanting a baby and can't get one. So, like, it's such
that's
a beautiful...
That's so funny that you say that.
Say that?
Because that's, like, what I was telling you about.
Yeah,
like, and
beautiful
I feel like
idea.
I came to that conclusion on my own. Like, so I, first of all, my husband and I have never felt like there's, like, a little soul waiting in the wings for us to join our family. Like, we felt like that with our daughter, and then we have not felt like that since. So I know, like, that feeling. And then my therapist said, because my husband and I went to a therapist to, like, talk all of this out. It was the same woman who helped me through my postpartum depression. So she knows everything and it's really good. But so she was like, you know, aren't you such a spiritual person? Like, don't you think that this little spirit won't just disappear. It will just find, like, where it's supposed to be. And, like, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, it's almost like there's, like, a line in heaven of little, like, angel babies. And then, like, if this pregnancy doesn't work out for whatever reason, like, whether it's, like, natural or unnatural, like, it's not like that little baby's not going to be born. It's like maybe it will just be somebody else's little baby.
Like, the energy exists.
Yeah, like, the energy exists and the energy will transfer. And, like, that honestly helps me a lot to think. It's like, well, maybe this isn't, like, I don't think this spirit's going to be gone. It's like the spirit will maybe be, like, someone's baby who they've been trying for years and years. And it can be their little rainbow baby. And, you know, it can go to somebody who really, 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 really wants it. And so that gave me a lot of peace. And ultimately, like... We just decided after a lot of crying and a lot of sleepless nights that we don't want to go through with it. And we're going to go ahead and terminate. So now I'm in, like, this awkward phase of, like, pregnancy purgatory is what I've been calling it.
I know that one. We just talked about I've had one abortion. And, yeah, like, there's, like, those few days where you're like, ugh.
She was saying I want to have a drink, but I feel guilty.
I didn't feel guilty about drinking.
Yeah,
it also honestly helped me even, like, just I made my decision. Yeah. We already know what's going down by like not drinking. It, like, was a weird. I was like, no, I'm just gonna.
That makes sense too. But how far along were you? Like,
I don't know, like 3 or 4 weeks.
So what was it? A zygote? What is that called?
Blastocyst.
I think it's a blastocyst.
Yes.
3 to 4 weeks. Yeah.
So it's like a.
There's no heartbeat.
Yeah.
I will say.
There's
saw
no heartbeat
it for
on
myself.
It.
There's no heartbeat right now. Not that that really matters, but to me,
I mean,
it was a little comforting.
That has to be comforting.
But yeah, no, I've actually moved past the no drinking thing. I am like fully drinking now.
All right.
Good for you.
It's good. I think it's an important step in like decide, like you've made a decision and to be like, all right, no,
it's cemented.
Yeah. I mean, the last like 2 days I've felt very, very solid and comfortable in it. And it sounds like also like kind of silly, but like the fact that I'm drinking also is like, okay, you can't go back. Like you're right.
But that must feel like, that must feel kind of good.
It does. And also, you know, I was sharing with you.
That you're a good mom.
Yeah.
You're even a good mom to the embryo that you're terminating.
Yeah.
Like, because, and I mean, and maybe again, because maybe this is because I'm such a hippie and I totally genuinely believe in energy and these spirits, but like, I think that you're doing the best thing you can be doing because it's your decision and this energy is going to go elsewhere.
Oh, thank you.
So you're honoring
the
energy.
Well, it's like, you know, what it comes down to is like, I don't know what the percentage is that you should like terminate versus not, but like for me personally, like 50% wanting a baby and 50% wanting to terminate a baby is not enough to keep a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's like 90-10. I don't know if it is 100%. Like, I don't know what the percentage is, but for me, like, being 50-50 is enough to terminate, but not enough to keep.
And I respect that so much. And I know for you to come to this decision, you put a lot of care and thought and love into it, you know? And this was not, like, just, like, a careless choice. This
no,
is
it's definitely planned and thought out.
But I just want to caveat that even if it is a careless choice, I still support you.
For sure.
For listeners.
So do
like, I would grapple
and,
with
and
this
I,
issue.
Any woman that chooses, and I think that's the whole point, is like, you don't have to be pro-abortion to be pro-choice, right? Like, that's not the same thing. I've always thought that a woman should make her own decisions about her body. And I always also thought that if it came down to it, my decision would be to not terminate. But, like, it's, like, one thing I've really learned is that you don't know what you're going to do in that decision until you're in it. For anyone to judge anyone until they've literally walked that journey
themselves.
Right. That's 100% true.
Just one other thing, like, I really want to add, too, is, like, we've decided that something that's, like, given us, like, the ability to have a lot of closure, because like my husband and I both feel like a lot of grief with this decision, like, and I don't think it would be easy either way, but I'm surprised at how like sad we feel too. Even though we feel really secure in our decision, we feel really sad. And so we're planning to have like kind of like a little ceremony for our little spirit, like once it's over. We plan on releasing a bunch of ladybugs into a nearby garden, and so that every time like we see the ladybugs, like we can remember that how much we love each other and how passionate we are about each other and how that is what ultimately like was why we ended up here, is because we are so just passionate and in love, really, right? That's how we made this baby, you know. And so to one, like, remember that, and to two, like, thank it for teaching us this lesson. And we don't want to just forget about this and move on with our lives. Like, this is a part of our story, and they're part of our journey together, and a part of our family. And so we need to, we want to be, like, mindful and thoughtful of that.
That's so beautiful. I love that. I love it, too. That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. I mean,
You're welcome.
Couldn't believe it. I mean, Emma told me the statistic about, you know, 50% of people terminating pregnancies have had kids before. I was blown away. But I mean, like, it makes sense because you, first of all, you know what it's like. You know it's harder.
You know what you're getting yourself into. Especially for someone that's been dealing with, you know, who had a horrible pregnancy and postpartum depression. It's like, and you're also putting your relationship with the daughter you do have at risk.
Well, yeah, because you're sick all the time, and you might, and God forbid, if you had horrible postpartum depression again, your daughter is gonna suffer that too.
Right.
So and she's already been through it. It's like, like talk about like mom guilt. I mean, no, there's a lot of unknowns, and I think ultimately, like, it's like I'm not ready to face any unknowns again. I need a break. I need a break from that. The worst thing that can happen if we terminate is things go back to the way things were and we have a little bit of sadness in our hearts. I'm not ready for a life-altering change right now.
Right. For all you know, in a couple years, you will be ready.
Yeah.
And you might do it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or you might not.
Maybe.
And that's your choice.
Right.
Your case, where you are making a decision for yourself and for your family, you thought this out. You are 100% in your choice. But there's also the 12-year-old girl who was raped. There's also the woman who maybe had a one-night stand and got pregnant and isn't ready to be a mother. There's also the person in an abusive relationship who should not be having children. And they all are the same. Nobody's story has any less validity. Every single person should make their own decision what is right for them, no matter their story.
Correct. But that's what's interesting. Right. So Emma did this poll on her stories
about
this. And like, I don't know, like, I feel like the women that were responding are people that were like, no, I had a real reason to get my abortion. And like, that's...
You don't need a real reason.
I know, and that's my point. It's like, if you decide... 100%. If you decide to make that decision, you don't need to explain it to other people.
No. And just because, like, I don't have, you know, a reason that some people would say is valid enough... doesn't mean that I don't deserve to make a choice about my body.
I think every single reason.
I deserve to make that choice, like, regardless of what my reasons are. And which, by the way, I also, in my, like, research, have discovered that there are only two states in the entire country, California and New York, where it is required by your insurance to cover abortions.
Wow.
No matter if you are choosing because... you just don't want to have a baby like me, or if because you were raped, or if because there's something wrong with the baby. It literally doesn't matter why you're getting an abortion. The insurance company has to cover it. And there are
no questions
two
asked.
States that do that.
Right. It's amazing that it exists in New York and California. Crazy that all these other states are trying to chip away.
So, like, in Alabama, if you're...
No kidding. If we lived in Missouri, we'd have to go to Planned Parenthood, the only one in the entire state. There's only one. There's only one clinic that will do an abortion. Because it's also up to the provider. So, like, my provider, like, my doctor who delivered my baby is going to be the one giving me a DNC. I don't have to go to a clinic. I don't have to go to a doctor I don't know. I get to have it in the hospital that I work with anesthesia. Like, I get to have that because my doctor will do it for me. That's huge. Because if it were anywhere else, like, it wouldn't be so simple.
I asked on the poll if you ever were going to have an abortion and then never actually went through with it. And some people, it sounds like they were at, like, Planned Parenthood. And quite a few people actually said that they were in the waiting room or they were in the exam room, had their clothes off, and at the last minute put their clothes back on and left. And that sounds like they don't have that kind of, like with you, you're getting your doctor who is someone you trust and is there for you and can be compassionate and give you everything that you need. These women sounds like they're in a very sterile environment with nobody there.
It's scary.
It is a little scary, honestly. Where I went, and I'm not to talk shit about Planned Parenthood at all,
because we need them. Like,
but I went
really
to Planned Parenthood, and it was rugged in there.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like a lovely place.
Well, no.
And I knew that I was making the right decision, but when you're in there, you're just like,
you're alone with your thoughts.
Like, you feel like you're in jail, because you have to, because there's all these crazy people that will come in and just start shooting people up, so you have to go through the metal detector. Like, you feel like you are in jail.
That's not how this should go, and that's not fair.
Right.
You know, ultimately, like, I'm happy with my decision. I can't wait for it to be done.
Sure.
So.
But you are... very brave.
Yes,
and
thank you so much.
And I'm proud to know you.
Yeah, this is great.
I'm proud to know you.
Aw. And I'm proud to meet you.
Yeah.
Just a love fest.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, it's important that we're there for each other.
Exactly.
I think it's, I mean, whether or not you agree with, like, I'm talking to listeners at this point, it's like, whether or not you agree with her specific decision in this situation, because you don't know her situation.
Exactly.
So we have to support each other as much as we can.
Yeah, as mothers, and that's...
As mothers and women.
And that's what this podcast...
As women.
As women, yeah.
Not just moms.
Yeah. That's why we need to elect more female politicians.
Ain't that the truth?
Although, yes. There is that. There are some women that just, like, want to be...
Don't
asshole dudes.
Get it.
That's true.
Like, who are... I think there's... Yeah. Honestly, there's just, like, some weird, like, penis envy bullshit going on
yeah.
with some of these ladies. It's, like, not enough for them to be a woman.
Agreed.
They, like, probably grew up in
horrible places. We wield a lot of power. You know, we should really, like, tap into it and be confident and be proud. And, you know, I feel like... you know, I just want to thank you so much for letting me share my story. And
no, thank you.
It feels very cathartic to know that maybe I went through this so that somebody else could find some peace in their own situation. So.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us.
Stop.
We appreciate it.
That was amazing. That was beautiful. And I'm sure you've helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Thank
you.
Go love on your baby.
Sending you kisses. Kiss your baby for us.
Yeah. I'll talk to you
Bye.
Soon.
Great interview.
That was good. It was our first interview.
Woo!
Done.
I love that she's on the same page as this guy. I want to do a quick plug for this book. Unpaid plug, of course. Spirit Babies, How to Communicate with the Child You're Meant to Have. And the author is Walter McKitchen.
You know, actually, when I was in my early pregnancy with Sebastian, I thought I was having a miscarriage. Like, I was walking in the middle of Party City, and all of a sudden, I had a gush of blood come out of me. And, like, I freaked out. I was probably, like, 7 weeks pregnant. I hadn't even had an ultrasound. I call my doctor. I go in. I'm on the phone with my mom, like, losing my head. And she's like, look, you know... All I wanted my mom to say was, because she's, like, my comfort in this kind of situation, I was like, Mom, just tell me I'm not having a miscarriage. She's like, I can't tell you that. I can't. I'm not a doctor. But I can tell you, if this baby isn't meant to be, this baby is not going to be.
Right.
And I feel like it's kind of the same vein of what... Kind of?
For sure.
Yeah. So, obviously, Sebastian was meant to be, and, you know, I was just having residual bleeding from something else, but...
I gotta say, I loved this book so much because that's what he says. It's like people come up to me and they're like, well, what's your opinion on women's rights? I mean, he's a dude. He can say whatever he wants. And he was just like, no, I actually researched this. I mean, in my very questionable, like, I mean, I get it. It's not like a science that you can point to and say, hey, this has been tested and we know that he knows what he's talking about. But it was just like a comforting way to think about it in that he's like, no, babies are spiritual energy.
Yeah.
And it can move around. Some families have the same spirits in their families for generation after generation after generation, and some spirits stick with you.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe she will terminate that pregnancy, and maybe she will get pregnant again, or maybe someone in her close friend group will get pregnant, and that same spirit will actually be their baby.
Who's been trying for years to have a baby will now get pregnant.
It's a beautiful idea.
I like that.
I really enjoyed the book.
That gives a lot of people peace to think of it that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it for this episode of Mom Best Friend. Thank you so much for listening. Please respect everyone's choices.
Even if it's not your choice.
Yes, exactly. And obviously, you know, we think men should be more responsible, but most importantly, get out there and vote, because it's important that your voice is heard on this issue so that everyone can make the right decision for their own lives.
For their own lives.
Feel free to hop on our Instagram at mombestfriend.pod and let us know how you're feeling. Have you had a similar experience? You can DM us also if it's not something you want to share publicly. But yeah, thanks for listening. This is Laura
and Emma
signing off.
Bye.